Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. Less excited to talk this week because it's not ever fun to talk about losses, right? We're used to our victory Sundays and victory Mondays. And unfortunately, this is going to be a long break for the Packers, who lose 24-14 to the Lions at home and then now have a bye week to kind of sit and think about this one before a stretch run, which maybe you could argue is a good thing for this Packers team. But definitely not the momentum that you want heading into arguably the harder half of their season. So Perry, I guess we have to dive into this one.
Yeah, that was a brutal watch. I don't think the Packers did too much good in that game. And to be honest with you, like, the Lions didn't even play that well. It's not like the Lions were on their best game. Jordan Love outpaced Jared Goff in yardage. Josh Jacobs had a better game on the ground than either David Montgomery or Jahmyr Gibbs, despite what it looked like at the eye test. So once again, we are here talking about how the Packers literally beat themselves through penalties and turnovers and just playing generally sloppy football.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that is what's so frustrating is the Packers have won close games. We saw them do it against the Rams. We saw them sneak one out against the Texans, the Jaguars. And you're like, okay, well, maybe that's part of their identity is they're a scrappy football team and they are getting close wins and gutting them out. And I think, you know, the deep breath moment here is that this was a Packers team that was 3-6 in this exact same spot last season. And then they came back and made it to the playoffs. I still think this is a playoff football team. This is a really good football team. But it's frustrating to be in week 9 of the season and still be making the same penalties and the same mistakes that you were making in weeks 1 and 2. Like, the excuses at some point, you're like, okay, well, they'll figure these things out. They're not. They're just not figuring these things out. And then you see what happens when you play a really good caliber football team, arguably the best team in the NFC, if not the NFL. Like, if you want to get to the Super Bowl, you're probably going to go through Detroit and can't play like this if you want to actually get very far in the playoffs.
Yeah, a few things there. One is, you know, I think at the beginning of the season, we were like, well, if they're playing like this in, you know, week 9, week 10, week 12, then we have something to be worried about. And now here we are. And yeah, I mean, you can't be having false starts that just kill drives. You can't be having holding penalties that just kill drives, you know, horrible drops by receivers in the red zone. Like, these are key moments that, like you said, especially against the best teams in the league, which the Lions are, like, those are crucial. This is not the Jaguars or the Colts. You know, this is a team that every point matters. And who knows, that missed field goal or that drop in the red zone or Tucker Kraft's, you know, drop for a touchdown could have meant this game. And these are all catches too that I expect these receivers to make. I expect Dontayvion Wicks to make these catches. I expect Tucker Kraft to make these catches. I expect Jayden Reed to make these catches. And again, like, that's not to say that Jordan isn't playing his best ball. Like, we can talk about the pick six if we want. He's not playing his best ball. He's also clearly not at 100. And I also think I want to talk about the bye a little bit later, maybe towards the end of the show. But yeah, we're in week 9. And those things should not be happening. Now, if the Lions come in and are just simply the better team and beat the Packers because they are the better football team, then by all means, take that win. But the Packers were moving the ball against this team. They were running the ball way better than I expected them to. But once you get down multiple scores, you kind of have to abandon the run game. And unfortunately, that was what was working for them, especially in the elements. It just sort of was one of those classic spiral games, and they just could never get out of their own way.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that also, you know, if we're going to try and find the silver linings in some of this, which we typically try to do, The conditions sucked. And, you know, unfortunately, this is what the Packers are supposed to be really good at playing in. The Lions are an indoor team. And, you know, Dan Campbell said after the game, like, people didn't expect us to come out here in these elements and play the way that we did. And we showed them that we can do that. And it was sloppy, you know, from both teams. You'd expect it to be in the weather, but unfortunately the away team handled it a lot better. They didn't seem to have as many drops or miscues. Both teams didn't really do well in the red zone. Lions were 2 of 4. Packers were one of, or yeah, 2 of 4. The Packers were 1 of 4. Just sloppy, you know, but clearly one team able to handle that a little bit better. And I think, you know, the downside to this, what's frustrating is we talk all the time about Lambeau Field being the mecca of football and this daunting place to play. And the Packers, Rob Domofsky tweeted it, have started 0-2 in the division for the first time since 2005. And they're 1-5 in their last 6 home NFC North games. And we saw them obviously went on the road last year on Thanksgiving at Ford Field. We've seen them get big wins at US Bank Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
1-5 against the NFC North, like at home at Lambeau. It's just really surprising. And it's not something I had necessarily registered until the Lions came in here again and dominated the way that they did.
Yeah, I don't know. I think those stats sometimes are cherry picky. Like, I get that that's alarming and that's fair. And you certainly want to grab your home, you know, divisional games when you can, right? Because you're going to go on the road and then that team is going to have the advantage. And now you're potentially looking at getting swept. I'm not actually that worried about that because the Packers have shown that they can go on the road at US Bank and in Detroit and win football games. But again, you don't want to be losing games to your division opponents, especially in such a tight race for the North. This game was for the division lead. Like, that's what, to me, it's like, how did you not get up for that title, to take the lead, to take the reins, to take it back from Detroit? You are home, right? You have the home crowd. Weather, sure, but Detroit hadn't played an outdoor game yet this season, and they did just fine. So again, not an excuse to me. I'm not down on this team by any means, and they still showed flashes, right? They still are moving the ball. It's just, why are we not converting these in the red zone? You know, when Jaden Reed has a 5-reception, 113-yard game, and I'm sitting here after the game going, I didn't even think Jaden Reed did anything. Like, I'm like, that really? That's surprising. You know, that's where I question, like, what am I watching versus what is, like, actually happening on the field. So I hope they take this bye and it motivates them and they come back enraged and they go on some kind of, like, run, because we know that they can. We saw this team do it last season. I think they have more weapons this season. I think they're more developed this season. They're just making stupid mistakes. Stupid, fixable mistakes that should go away. It's really unfortunate that it had to happen against an opponent where this loss could potentially come back to bite them later down in the season.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, that's one of the frustrating parts of this too is, you know, you can't use the weather as an excuse. You can't use injuries. Every team in the NFL is suffering from injuries. They're obviously without Aiden Hutchinson. Like, Brian Branch got ejected, however you feel about that. Like, teams deal with injuries and losses, but you have to wonder, like, I mean, despite the pick six, you know, counting for 7, this defense then gave up 17 without Jair and without Evan Williams. So, like, it feels like there's still things to be like, to me, if the defense holds them to 17, I expect that offense to put up more than 17 points and win the game. So I think that's what's frustrating, is it's just they're not back to the complimentary football that we were so excited about a couple weeks ago. Because, yes, they didn't get any turnovers. They could have done the offense some favors, but just so many miscues, penalties backing them up, stalling out drives, special teams, the weird Keyshawn Nixon thing to open the game, like, just messy.
Yeah. I still don't love where the pass rush is at.
Fair.
And look, again, the Lions have one of the best offensive lines in the league. So if you're going to judge based off this game, like, probably not the best game to judge off of. But again, I don't love that it's week 9 and, you know, they're getting, what, 1 sack a game. Boundary corner just still really worries me with Jair out. Yep. You know, it's the easy completions on the edge that Eric Stokes and Valentine are just allowing. You know, I think good quarterbacks, because Jared Goff is a good quarterback, they're going to find way, you know, and their offensive coordinator is a very good offensive coordinator. They're going to find ways to avoid Xavier McKinney. You know, like, he wasn't even a factor in this game because a good game plan will find ways to avoid him. and therefore take him out of like the ability to create a turnover for this team. So I hopefully watch this tape as a defense and make tweaks. I feel confident that they will. And to your point, allowing 17, this is the least amount of points that the Lions have put up in the last month and a half. It's a win for the defense. This offense has the capabilities to score more than 24. This team has the capabilities, 100%. This team has the capabilities to win this game if they had not just continued to make mistakes. I mean, botch snap after botch snap, like get into the red zone and two botch snaps in a row. And I get that there was shuffling along the line, but it's not an excuse. Elton is a vet and you expect him to step into that role and play it well. And whether be damned, I don't care. So I think we can keep talking in circles about the mistakes. I don't think that there's necessarily a point. It was a winnable game that they didn't win, and that sucks. And now it's in the loss column, but they're still 6-3. And that's a really good place to be. You can take a look at, which I am, that their three losses are coming against formidable good opponents that they're likely going to see again this season, whether it's Vikings and Lions again for their second game in the season, or potentially the Eagles later down in the playoffs. But I think this team still has the capabilities to beat good teams. They just need to do it.
Right. And we've seen them do that, right? We know it's possible to beat good football teams. They have played good teams and they will play, you know, really good teams down the stretch. They've got the Niners. They've got the Lions again. They've got the Vikings again. Like there's good opponents coming. They've got the Dolphins who are maybe turning things around with Tua. So certainly not an easy stretch for them coming out of the bye. But it is, I mean, it's always disheartening to see, you know, the missed field goals in the rain, the missed red zone opportunities. Like the points add up. And unfortunately we saw the missed kicks affect the outcome of the Eagles game, affect the outcome of the Vikings game. And these miscues are what we have said repeatedly the entire season. They're what cost you these big moments. And unfortunately, if the Packers aren't taking the division, which at this point, you know, they're still in contention for it, right? Like they can still win the division, but it's going to cost you seeding and it might cost you like a home playoff game. Like you're probably traveling at that point. So that's, I think, the stuff that is really going to need to be hammered home to this team, that all the capacity is there. It's just 67 yards on 10 penalties. Like it's just so messy. Yeah. And there's too many vets on this team for these kinds of things to keep happening. And I think that's been frustrating as well, is the guys that you would expect to show up in key moments are just really quiet this season. And I don't think anybody has a reason as to why, but maybe we shift a little bit just very quickly and talk about the trade deadline. Because obviously as we record this, the trade deadline is tomorrow. So do you think there's an urgency from Goody and this, you know, this roster to make any changes?
Urgency, no. You know, I think they could go the rest of this way with this roster and be perfectly fine. Does he make a move at corner, at edge? Sure. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Goot has veered out of the typical, our old ways. And so I can see him making not a splashy move by any sense of the imagination at the trade deadline, but for depth, especially given the injuries right now at least at corner. And I'd be all for it. But I can also see a world where they're quiet.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to tell. And I kind of thought for the longest time that edge would be the position that I would want to see them add. And I think at this point, I would rather have a boundary corner.
Me too.
Aaron Mosby. I don't know if you have any other thoughts about the trade, but otherwise, I think we wrap this one up with game balls, because I know we're trying to be optimistic going into the bye, and there's a lot, you know, that the Packers are going to have to think about. We're going to have a show later this week with a very special guest to talk about the season as it stands and what's next. But yeah, let's give out game balls to the guys that deserve them this week, because there were some really good performances.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, and I was going to ask you, and we can probably talk about it with our special guest on our bye week episode, like, what does this team need to do or tweak coming out of the bye? Like, what are they going to do in this next week to self-scout and make some changes? I don't think that there's anything big that they need to do. Like, I personally would like them to target Christian Watson more. I think all he does is make plays. He has the lowest drop percentage of all the wide receivers this season. He deserves more targets. When he gets the ball, he does good things. And he did it again in this game. Same with Jaden Reed. He's been oddly quiet, and I don't know why. And then all of a sudden, I look at the stat sheet, and he has over 100-yard game, just like low-key. Target the guys who are making plays, please.
So who gets a game ball? Christian Watson and Jaden
Reed? I think Christian Watson, to me, like, it's just so consistent. We always talk about Romeo Doubs' hands, and he deserves that. But I don't think Christian Watson honestly gets enough targets for us to make that, have that conversation, and he should. He's a big play threat, but he also can be used as a something more than that, you know, in the shorter, you know, short yardage area game, because he has strong hands and the big play ability. Now, naturally, he missed the big play ball. They misread it. Okay. That was unfortunate. But other than that, he catches almost everything that gets thrown his way.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, mine has to be Josh Jacobs. We talked about it. We knew that he had to have a big game for the Packers to be able to stick in things, especially against a really good run defense in Detroit. And 95 yards on 13 carries, 7.3 yards per attempt, a 37-yarder, which is just shy of his season-long. Unfortunately, you know, they got away from the run there in the second half when they were down and had to try and put the ball in the air, but just a really solid performance from him and something that we've grown accustomed to, just always having really reliable performances. And then I think for me, my second game ball would be Aaron Mosby, because I know he didn't play a ton of snaps, but a lot of fun to see him get out there. I think it was like his fifth snap on defense for his career, and he splits a sack with Rashawn Gary. Like, that's the juice. Those are the guys that you want to see more playing time and have earned their role and just continue to like ascend the depth chart, because if, you know, your starters aren't going to make plays, then maybe it's time for some of those guys to get in there and do it. So those will be my game balls this week.
I agree with you on Josh Jacobs. He's such a workhorse for this team. He's nobody like really knew what he would be coming in, if he could be the version that he was in, what was it, 2022, when he was the best back in the league. And he is. I mean, he's got to be one of the best backs in the league by yardage, by yards per carry, by all of the important metrics. And he really puts the team on his back. And I wish they hadn't had to get away from the run game in the second half, because it was really, really working.
Yeah, I agree. So any final thoughts before we wrap this one up? Like we said, we did allude to the fact that we have a special guest coming on. Yeah. So I think much larger conversations about the state of this team. And maybe, hopefully, we'll see some news about the trade deadline tomorrow. But yeah, anything else before we close this one? Because talking about losses isn't fun.
No, and I hope that like we're not too doomsday. Like, I'm very happy to be critical of this team. There was plenty to be critical of in this game. It was not a fun game to watch. It was ugly. They didn't play well. They're not playing up to their standard, and they're not playing up to their potential. But it's one game, and they're 6-3, and the bye is coming at a really just perfect time for them right now to get healthy, to get recentered, and to remind them who they are. I think Jordan needs it. I think everybody needs it. And we will have a much larger, like Maggie said, bye week, you know, conversation coming up, but not, yeah, you know, not waving the white flag here. This is still a playoff contending team. I still expect them to come out of this bye week and have a winning record in the second half of the season, because they are a good football team.
Can't go 12-5 if you don't lose 5 games, but No, I mean, I think that you said it really well. Jordan Love's going to get healthy. Jair's going to get healthy. Josh Myers get healthy. Evan Williams is going to get healthy. The bye comes at a great time. Coming out of this one, they go to Soldier Field to take on the Bears. Packers always get up for Bears games, so I think that's a nice way to kick off the second half of the season and start that stretch run into playoff contention. But thank you, as always, for listening to the show. This is the Packs That She Said podcast. You can find us on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. We will have a special guest episode probably dropping Wednesday morning, so stick around for that. It's going to be a ton of fun. And you can find us on Spotify, YouTube, everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. Like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. We appreciate it. And we'll be back to talk about the bye week because there's not a game this week, but hopefully more winning football to talk about soon. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.